Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi to this very special program in honor and in tribute to Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi. Before the break there, you saw something that was, I would say, rather special and perhaps unique. We've now, inshallah, going to be carrying on the discussion and talking a little bit more. And as I said at the start of the program, we are very, very honored and delighted that this afternoon we have here live in the Umma Channel Studios, a very renowned and a very honourable guest who has actually been here to the studios before, and you've seen him. We've had the promotion in the background as well. Noble and most respectable Sheikh Muhammad Hisham Kabbani. I greet them and I say thank welcome, Sidi, and thank you so much for taking time out of a very, very busy schedule. Welcome to the Umma Channel.
Thank you very much. Shukran jazeera. Thank you for inviting me.
Before we go on in detail talking to the Honourable Sheikh, I just want to bring back in Brother Arshad Yaqub, who, mashallah, did that phenomenal, very unique, as I said, methodology of dhikr that is attributed to Maulana Sheikh Jalaluddin Rumi. And I'm just conscious that many of our viewers, but perhaps, you know, perhaps they've never seen anything like that before. And I just wanted to invite him in again after he's done that whirling, and with the other brothers as well. And before I do that, maybe I should also mention and give thanks to the whole team of brothers there with Brother Arshad Yaqub. You saw the two dervish whirlers. They were Hassan Mahmood and Brother Imran Ahmed. And also we had presenting the dhikr and the nasheeds. We had Tafsir Shabir Sahib and Tasir Shabir Sahib, both brothers, and Shiham Thaqib, shooting star, quite literally, and Brother Abdul Rahman Ismail and Brother Muhammad Dawood. I want to give a special thank you and special mention to them for coming to the studios here and providing such a wonderful spiritual experience to all of our viewers. But as I said, Brother Muhammad Arshad Yaqub Sahib, I just wanted to make sure, first and foremost, that actually after that wonderful experience, and I know physically there's lots of movement, are you actually okay? How do you manage to keep yourself stable and keep yourself from falling?
I'm fine, thank you very much. A little tired, but okay. It's a famous question always asked wherever right. I go. And I can only honestly, truly say it's a connection that I have with our beloved Sheikh and Maulana Sheikh Nazim that is our inspiration to carry on standing within the whirling and after the whirling. There is no other explanation, inshallah. I hope to hear from our Sheikh more about this myself. I'm more intrigued to learn more and learn more knowledge. But it's a divine connection, and these are divine people. And we're honored to be sitting next to them and to listen to them as well.
MashaAllah. JazakAllah khair, Brother Arshad Yaqub there, giving us his explanation, and he said it himself. It's actually the divine connection, and through the grace, the mahabba, and the nusra, I should say, the help of those that are already connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a spiritual manner. I thank you once again, Brother Arshad, for coming to the studios this afternoon, and inshallah we'll hope to see you soon once
thank
again.
You.
Okay, viewers, as I said there, we're very honored to have in our studios a very renowned Sufi master in their own right, a renowned Sheikh, Maulana Sheikh Hisham Kabbani, and they are here in the studios with
thank
us today.
You.
And I know that one of the questions which many viewers will perhaps already have in their minds, especially those viewers, Sheikh, that perhaps have not had the experience that that we have had. And I know I've already had messages coming through from the emails in the back office there. Basically, if we can start off with this particular method of dhikr, because we're very much aware, alhamdulillah, those people who are connected to mashayikh, that dhikr is an extremely important aspect of their life as a Sufi. But this particular methodology of dhikr, of the whirling, if Sidi can ask you to perhaps shed some light upon that would be very beneficial.
You know that we are asking something that needs a lot of explanation.
No.
And what we going to say, or what I'm going to say, is like a drop of an ocean. To prepare the audience or the viewers to what it is, the reality. First of all, they have to believe in, they have to have faith, iman. Al-iman
no.
means believing in ghaib, to be with the unseen. Mm-hmm. When you begin to use your mind, then too much doubts comes. That's why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came with his message, he was saying, say la ilaha illallah first, because he wants to bring them something that there is God, there is la ilaha illallah, not those statues, but there is God. But the major Islamic belief is al-iman bil ghaib, is, and especially our viewers, Muslim, they understand that they have to believe in faith. They cannot everything to rationalize it through their minds. So you are speaking about a movement.
No.
Can you show me something in the world and the universe is not moving? The whole...
constant motion.
In constant motion, the whole universe. Who made the moon to move around the earth with no fuel? Who made the earth and the moon to move around the sun without fuel? Who made the earth to move around itself without fuel? So everything in this universe, if you want to take only the solar system, we don't want to go farther than that, it's in motion. Physicists today, they found that this whole universe that we are seeing, these galaxies, not one galaxy, thousands of galaxies, and every galaxy 80 billion stars nearly, are moving in constantly with the speed of light in vacuum. They are surprised. They don't know where it is moving. We are now moving in 300,000 kilometers per second, but you are not feeling it. This is not me, it's quantum physics. So the movement, it is in everything. Allah created movement to make everything, to show the reality of the, it is either the movement in Allah's love or movement in dunya love. So you choose what you want. So that's why it is very important to say to ourselves why our heart is pumping by itself. Who is making it? It's moving. The blood is, you know, the speed of the blood in the circulation of the body is 40 miles per hour. The blood moving in us, it has a speed like a car moving.
40 miles per hour.
The blood is circulating. So that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secret has put in people. So Sayyidina Jalal al-Din al-Rumi, Qaddas Allahu sirrahu, when he began zikrullah, because ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub, by Allah's zikr you get satisfaction into the heart. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. Many ayats of zikr. There is more than 104 ayah being mentioned about the heart. There is more than 17 ayah mentioned about the sadr, the chest in Holy Quran. So these ayat that they have been mentioned are all, always they have some things there that you have to pull out knowledge from it. So Sayyidina Jalal al-Din al-Rumi, when he was doing zikr, is not like our zikr. Our zikr mixed with lot of dunya issues. Their zikr, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, their meditation, their focus is the greatness of Allah in creating the creation, earth and heavens. So their soul are there. There is not their soul are with us anymore. Like Prophet said, تَفَكُّرُ سَاعَةٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عِبَادَةِ سَبْعِينَ سَنَةً, to reflect on 1 hour, is you will be rewarded like 70 years of worshipness. So this tafakkur, when they do zikr and when you say Allah, or they say La ilaha illallah, or whatever they say, is any beautiful names or attribute, they go into the fountain and the manifestation of that beautiful name. So that tajalli, that manifestation, will dress them. So when they say La ilaha illallah, they really feel the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not like us, we say La ilaha illallah by tongue. So
they're in that absolute state.
They are in that purity, in that trance. It is a trance in their lives at that moment. They are not there anymore. They cannot feel themselves. The feeling is
grateful for you mentioning that particular point about the focus the emotion that dhakir at that moment is feeling, because I remember the very first time, and even alhamdulillah today, and I know Sheikh you've experienced and witnessed this many times, you look closely into the eye of the dhakir, of that wala, and really you don't actually realize you don't realize that he physically is there, because he is in a state of his own, his absolute focus, and that's something that I'm glad you picked up on that point, because people have one of the questions, and if I can carry on and ask you to elaborate a little bit more, one thing that we physically see while they're moving, or before they begin their movement, is the bowing down kind of taking that acceptance from the Sheikh when they begin. And that's perhaps something that some people are a little bit uncomfortable with. Would you mind just elaborating a little bit on that, please?
When you were speaking about how they begin that zikr and they are not physically there, I felt goosebumps on myself. I have felt as if I was with them, because that tajalli, that manifestation is there. That positive energy is still here. So you are asking about, can you repeat?
When they begin the whirling, they bow down. And that's something that, as I say, again, because of this unique focus that they have, and alhamdulillah, you've explained it phenomenally, but some people may perhaps just see that the outward of that. And I'm thinking of the kind of, you know, the ruku aspect that comes into that.
When you want to show a sign of respect to someone, what you do?
No. Yes. You? I stand up and I bow my...
You bow yourself. A janaza is passing. What you do? You read Fatiha or you stand up and you bow. It's not bowing of worshipness. It's bow of respect. And not going into sajda. Sajda is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that ihtiram, it depends on the person, how much he feels connected with the Shaykh at that moment, or connected with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feelings, or protected, connected with the divine presence, feeling the presence of the divine there. So by himself, without feeling, he might bow out of respect. It's not that it is something that it is ibadah or something. No, it is a sign of respect. When you go to Muslim countries, there are sultans in Muslim countries. What they do? When they come into front of the king, they go on their knees even till today.
I remember my visit to the Buckingham Palace. I was told specifically that you must stand in this particular manner, and that when you go to Her Majesty, this is how you be. And I was thinking to myself, this is all very very prescriptive. And you know, we don't have any. We have honor for our kings and our royal family. But it's not honor and respect as we give to someone perhaps like yourself, or even someone who is passed away, like Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi, and people that we have in our hearts who know are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't often find the criticism when we are talking about material things.
That bow is not even for the Shaykh. That bow is for that divine relationship that he built with the Shaykh, and that divine, he is bowing to that divine moment of manifestation of that beauty of that presence. That's what he's bowing. Not bowing for what you benefit if you bow or you don't bow. So the Sheikh is not expecting you to bow even. Let us go back to the main important. Is that when Sayyidina Jalaluddin Rumi began that divinely zikrullah and was in it, in that trance, he out of his strong appearances that he was seeing there and feeling there, as atoms, if you go inside the atom, you see the electrons are circumambulating around the mass in a speed of light. It's in constant motion. So every cell of his body, he was feeling it, and he was seeing it as an atom incirculating around itself with its electrons inside it. So,
right to the minutest particle that we can actually physically contemplate. Even within that, there is circumambulation.
Of course, because scientists in scientific discoveries, they find that in a human being there is 3 trillion cells, and every 6 months they rejuvenate. And every cell is like a big factory. It has its defense, it has its army, it has a battalion, it has everything to protect that particular cell from any attack from outsider bacteria or viruses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create something as we think is so easy, it's so complicated. So when he was in that state, out of purity, gravity was not able, when an aeroplane is flying with the turbine, it goes up. So Sayyidina Jalaluddin Rumi, with that purity, and these cells are all of them reacting to each other, there was no more gravity to his body. His soul was pulling the body, so he was rising up. So the reality of Sayyidina Jalaluddin Rumi is not whirling and standing on the floor. No, he rise. He used to rise with his followers and rise up every murid up to his level. So Sayyidina Jalaluddin Rumi might rise all over, whatever he wants, he can reach.
Actually, what we have seen today is perhaps an attempt to get to that stage, but the state that Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi achieved was one of heights, and that would actually gave him physical height as well.
That's true. That's why what we see today of whirling, it is still in the preliminary parts of it, but it's not yet went to the trance of it.
What saddens me, and I'm sure you share this, again, having visited Turkey recently, it's become a very, and this is, I suppose, my next question in relation to the popularity of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi in the Western world. And again, even, say, visiting Turkey recently, it's become almost part and parcel of the whole tourist kind of culture. And you see it. I remember walking around the bazaars there, and there was a sign of, you know, come to this event in the evening, there's going to be some whirling. And even actually the footage that we've got here, because I was speaking to Brother Urshid about this before, the physical way that the sheikh, that the whirler would stand, receiving the grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and passing it down, that actually isn't reflected. So the point that I wish for you to elaborate upon is that it seems to me that we almost, as a Muslim ummah, we need to perhaps regain the truth and the reality of what Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi stood for. Again, this leads me on to the question of why you think it's actually become, he himself has become one of the greatest and most popular poets in the United States, for instance.
He is. Why he is becoming popular? Because there is a vacuum in human life. Psychologically, every one of people has a vacuum to fill his spiritual feelings. Today, we pray, I don't like to say it, but I have to say it. We pray, it's like customs, robots. But there is a vacuum of spirituality. So the West is looking for spirituality. Why they come to Islam is not because Islam going to give them the 5 prayers. They will say, oh, the church will give us 1 prayer on Sunday. But Islam give us every day we have to. They come to Islam because there is a lot of spirituality and poetry and art, Islamic arts and Islamic events and movements that give them something to feel it, to feel. That's why they were running to Jalaluddin Rumi, and they do whirling also. And some of them, they are not Muslim. They are doing whirling because they want to feel, they want to empty. Everyone has something within him. He wants to share it out, or he wants to bring it out. That's why our youth, and I am my suggestion to scholars and to ulama, with my respect, I know they are very respectful, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But you give the youth a chance to express themselves through movement. If they cannot express themselves through movement, then that's why they like to go to disco. So give them an alternative in Islam.
So what you're saying, essentially, this aspect of movement is a very natural phenomena. And you talked about going right down to the very atom. So it's an essential part of what makes up a human being, that they want to have this movement. And Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi and his methodology is given as a way of using that movement to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And that's
so
true.
They should be now encouraged.
That's why in the West, they didn't find that movement in Hinduism. They didn't find that movement in Buddhism. They didn't find it in Christianity. They didn't find it. You know now Christianity, they have movement, but what is movement? It's dancing and the music. And where they found it? They found it in Jalaluddin Rumi whirling. And they found it and they feel it. And that's why I see in United States sometimes they have these kind of concerts. Where the Kurumi concert, where they are whirling, and you have men whirling on one side, women whirling on one side. And I saw more than that. I saw mixed also. But although it is not acceptable, we don't accept it, but at least it will bring the name of Islam on the tongue of people. So the many converts are coming through this kind of movement and through kind of whirling and through kind of teaching of Jalaluddin Rumi.
I'm very aware of this concept, and I'm doing the reading and planning for this program. Actually, it's got to the extent now where the word Rumi is become almost fashionable. And na'udhu billah, there's one particular website I went to, and they even had a Rumi bar. And within the whole kind of Western thing of, you know, the drink and the social culture, they had the whirling going on as well. So it's obviously they've taken it because of the spiritual void. But isn't there a danger there, as in this case, that actually they could step over the boundary, if you like, and the Sharia, kind of requirements, and then use it for their own gain?
I don't think there is a I don't think Muslim will be affected to go to by what they are doing. People they copy, and that's why you see many people copy from Islam things, and they put their own specific religion, and they say, oh, we are this and we are that, and they are not really Muslim. So we cannot control everyone, but we do our own duty. So our own duty is to keep it as Islamic as it is, and not to go into to go far like what the West is doing. But the West they feel that they have to do it because they're missing something. And when they read poetry of Jalaluddin Rumi, might be out of 1,000, might be 10 come to Islam, which alhamdulillah. There is no loss in that. لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النِّعَمِ. If Allah will guide through you, one person is better than the whole wealth of dunya. So Jalaluddin Rumi in his grave is bringing people to Islam. So, oh no, do whirling as much as you like.
And Sidi, we're coming close towards the end of the program. I just wanted to ask you, I mean, you've touched upon this plea that we need to re-engage with our youth. And we know that there is, lots and lots of issues, but without bringing negativity into the program, just generally speaking, again, talking about the broader Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah movement and the tasawwuf generally, I've not perhaps mentioned also that with this program that we, alhamdulillah, through your hard work and efforts, you had the likes of His Royal Highness Prince Charles attending, and he was, I know, very impressed in that gathering. What can tasawwuf, Sufism generally, right here in 21st century, 2010, United Kingdom, and I know this is an international channel, it's been shown to several countries, but we have a local issue here and a national issue, which is unfortunately an international phenomena of people becoming extreme. What can tasawwuf offer to that wayward group of people? How can we engage them back into the mainstream?
Tasawwuf can bring everyone from extremism and violence and radicalization. It de-radicalizes everyone back to normal life. If the government will listen, because unfortunately, I went and met many officials. They think that the only people that can bring back extremists to normal are the same people that they brought extremism. Salafi can bring Salafi. Dayobandi can bring Dayobandi. Hizb al-Tahrir can bring Hizb al-Tahrir from extremism. Salafi can bring Salafi from extremism. It's not going to work like that. What needs to work is Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah has to stand up, and Sufism is the way, because Allah subhanahu, because it is full of moral excellence. Our youngsters, what they want? They want moral excellence. They want someone to teach them al-akhlaq, adab. Adab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best characters of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you touch on that subject, you can change a lot of people. And we saw that. We met with a lot of people that they are street people. They do everything. And we brought them back from that through tasawuf, through, let me tell you, through what we call today Hadra, which is a movement also with the drums and qasida on Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through giving them lectures, through telling them to entertain themselves, through teaching them drumming, teaching them how to do qasa'id. It gives them something that they are busy with it. But unfortunately, you don't offer our Muslim youth anything except radical ideology and a violent anger, and you tell them how we can solve the problem. We cannot solve the problem.
So it's about engaging with young people in a manner that is natural to their makeup and bringing them back into the fold, and inshallah.
Yeah, to how to bring them. They made a prevent, what they call it, a prevent. A prevent in Arabic is mana'.
To stop
something from happening. It is not in that way.
What happens if it's already happening?
you are speaking to the, you have to speak to masses. You cannot go one to one. People, they think they, you have to go one to one, speak to this one, to this one. It never ends because people are millions. Yeah. You have to have sheikhs that they are able to speak with masses. These are the peers. Peers of Pakistan, where are they? Peer of India or Kashmir or Arab countries or Africa, you need these peers that if they speak to 10,000 people, 10,000 people will change completely. And then, you know what is happening now in our universities? Since Salafi can bring Salafis back from extremism, they are taking our Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah into Salafism. So they are, we are losing another generation.
See, we've opened up an area that is, I know it's very close to your heart, certainly close to myself. Program time has unfortunately caught up with us. It's been an absolute honor to have you here with us. And I know that certainly I've been very much in, much more enlightened by the discussion here. And I absolutely love the explanation of this whirling, because I know that this is something that is perhaps, as I said at the beginning, those who have never experienced it, because it is an experience, will perhaps question. And so I'm very, very grateful for your explanation.
Thank you.
If I can ask you please finally to close with a fatha and a dua, as this program is dedicated to Mullah Jalaluddin Rumi, and of course to all of our mashayikh and the people, in particular the Umma Channel organizers and all those who seek to help propagate the path of the Ahlus Sunnah.
Amin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ja'ala awwala liqa'ina hadha salahan wa awsatahu falahan wa akhirahu najahan. Allahumma ja'ala awwalahu rahmatan wa awsatahu ni'matan wa akhirahu takrimatan wa maghfira. Alhamdulillahi alladhi tawadda'a kullu shay'in li'azamatihi wa dalla kullu shay'in li'izzatihi. وخضع كل شيء لملكه واستسلم كل شيء لقدرته والحمد لله الذي سكن كل شيء لهيبته وأظهر كل شيء بحكمته وتصاغر كل شيء لكبريائه اللهم أيقظنا في أحب الساعة إليك يا ودود. نرجو الله عز وجل أن يوفق أمة شانل لما يحبه ويرضاه. And inshallah this is a best station, good station, one of the best stations. May Allah give them happiness and keep them running after Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, promoting the teaching of Muslims and Islam. May Allah forgive everyone. ونقول على في النهاية نرجو الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا ويرشدنا إلى ما هو أهله وإلى حبيبه المصطفى عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام. والسلام عليكم بحرمة الحبيب وحرمة الفاتحة.
There you have it, viewers. We have had a phenomenal discussion this afternoon with our Honourable Sheikh Muhammad Hisham Kabbani. And with that dua, I'd like to bid you all a farewell. Jazakum Allah khair for tuning in. And just my last words for all of you. You heard here the discussion around the kind of detail of the dhikr, but one of the greatest things that I'm sure you've appreciated, and certainly I have, is that the knowledge of a sheikh who has that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't just limited, unfortunately, as we sometimes have this misconception, to the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, which alhamdulillah the sheikh has ample amounts of. But also you heard that discussion about metaphysics, about movements, about the constellations of the world and the stars and earth. It was absolutely a fantastic discussion. I hope that's been something that's been inspiring to you. And just before we leave, I'd like to leave you with two websites, inshallah, for further information if you wanted to discuss the Sheikh's discussions and all of the lectures and the harakah that this particular tariqah has, is all available to you on SufiLive.com. That's SufiLive, SufiLive.com. And also the brothers that we saw earlier on doing the whirling, if you wanted to seek further information about that, that is Shifa Meditation. I've used the word whirling an awful lot today, but actually the essence of it, as we've heard from our respectable sheikh and teacher, is it's all about connecting and meditating and tafakkur and contemplating so that you can reach back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect back to Him. So that website again is shifameditation.com. You'll be watching this special edition program in tribute to Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you protected, keep you preserved, and keep you all on the path of the mainstream of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is yours, I think. This is theirs.